If you're part of one of the families in our church that have children, in our children's ministry, this has become somewhat of a direction for you over the last weeks. Our children's ministry has worked hard to put together Easter in a bag. And every day there's been something for you to do in these weeks leading up to Easter to get you thinking about Easter. Last night, your families were asked to take your feet, put it on a piece of paper, cut it out. Thought, well, I will too. Those are my feet. I've got a really strange pointy toe there. It's probably more about my cutting than my toe, but that's okay. This whole idea that we're to follow Jesus, follow his footsteps. And often that will take us a different place than what a lot of people in our world and our culture say we should go to. Where do we follow Jesus? It was fascinating. If you watch what Jesus did before he went to the cross, he gathers his disciples, his closest followers, in a room, and it's this very precious and important time where he wants to get them prepared for him going to the cross, even though they won't get it, his resurrection, and then his going back to heaven, and knowing they will then be walking in the world. Up to now, they've seen his literal footprints and they've been able to follow him as he's walked with them, but that's all going to change. John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 have a lot to do with how do we walk with Jesus in this world. And for the adults, we're, during these weeks leading up to Easter, going through this book, 40 Days of Decrease, as it's guiding us to the scriptures. And a reminder, 4 o'clock every Sunday, today again, I'll host a time online. Any of you who want to talk about this week in the book would love to do that. And sign in for that is on our website and in the bulletin. But it also guides us through these readings in John. And we've been in John 14 this week. And if you've noticed at all, the word world comes up a lot. John 14, 17 to 31. 6 times the word world. If you keep reading to John 16, there's going to be 13 times in those short passages that Jesus talks about walking, living in the world. Raises a question. What in the world is the world? And why does Jesus want us to be aware of the world and how we are to walk in the world? Well, for Jesus' followers, they've heard Jesus talk about the world up to now. They're kind of ahead of us. So let's try and catch up a little bit. When Jesus talks about the world and John records it, what's he talking about? John 1, verse 9, talks about Jesus coming to earth as the true light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. Get this part. Though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. The world. Made by him. And yet its people did not recognize him. A good world. And yet a world in rebellion. So a lot of theologians have put their heads together and said, what is this thing called the world? John Piper says it's created, and yet the fallen totality of humankind. God made us to walk with him, but we said, no, God, we're going to follow our own way and create the ways of the world. Kind of left us messed up, hasn't it? Another one said, well, it's the environment where humanity has rebelled against God. And certainly this past year has revealed the fractures in our world. We're not as in control as we thought we could be as we turned from God. We're divided among so many things. There's definitely the powerful and the marginalized and the oppressed. The world's a mess. And there's so much human greed and people turning from God. And this is what John, in the words of Jesus, calls the world. So what did God do with the world? He certainly could have, forget you. You can wallow in your choice. I made you over here to be good. You've done your own thing. He could have, but then we get these well-known verses. For God so loved the world. Fallen humanity. We who turned away from him, God so loved us that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Back here to the life he intended for us to have. In fact, John 3:17 says this. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Wow. God didn't condemn a world that turned from him. He actually loved this world and saved it. And we're talking about moving to Easter, where he will die on a cross to save this world. All right? So how are we then to relate to the world? John 17. Jesus is praying before he goes to the cross for his followers, his disciples. Okay? He says, as you sent me, Father, as you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. For them I sanctify. The word means I set apart myself. I'm in the world, but I'm set apart from the world. I have not followed that rebellion, but God, as I've lived here, as your son, I've set myself apart to your way and your life, that they too might be truly sanctified. That they too might get this life. Do you see the tension here? Father, I've had my followers with me, and now I'm going to leave, but I'm asking them to stay in the world, among people who don't honor me and have fallen against me, but to do it in a way that's out of this world, distinct from this world, loving this world like I love this world, inviting this world back to me and your ways, living by whole different resources, different direction. And you might say, well, okay, but Jesus is leaving. They've been able to see his footprints. Where is this going to be now? Where are they going to turn? John 14:16-18. Jesus is letting them know he's going to be leaving. They don't get it. But he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. It's another word for the Holy Spirit. Different translations. A helper, a comforter, an encourager. Literally, one who comes alongside you and walks with you and is in relationship with you. Another one, just like me. I come down to you as God in human form. God's Spirit will now come among you. The very presence of God with you. I will ask the Father. He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The world isn't going to recognize him. The world is still doing their own thing. But you as my followers, I'm present with you to live differently in the world and yet out of this world. The picture I get, you know, when humans went to the moon and they walked on the moon, they had to bring with them the resources of another world. They had to bring the oxygen of the earth or they would die. It's like God is saying, I came to earth and now you follow me. You walk among this earth, and yet even as you do, the very presence of the kingdom of God is with you. You live in and among the kingdom of the world. You're not out of it somehow, and yet you carry with you resources that are out of the world. The Holy Spirit. Now, here's where this gets practical, because we as followers of God, Christians, we tend to get caught up in one of the two sides. I'm going to be so out of the world that I'm going to live isolated from the world. I'm going to walk in judgment of the world. They can go where they want to go. I'm just going to have my comfortable little rabbit holes of Christian faith and forget the world. On the other side, I'm going to throw off my oxygen pack and I'm just going to mess right up here in the world. And my values and priorities and direction isn't going to start looking any different than the world. And I'm going to lose this set apartness. And Jesus calls us to come back from the extremes to be in the world, living as those submitted to a kingdom other than this world. So what does that look like? That's what Jesus is getting his followers ready for in John 14. And I wanted to take a little bit of time because we come to the table to remember that as we live among the world, we do so as followers of Jesus. And this table reminds us of the resources out of the world, the presence of the Holy Spirit. But what does that mean practically then to live in the world and out of the world at the same time? Having the posture of love and grace toward the world that God did. Well, let me go at this by just reminding us out of John 14, when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, about a few things that the Holy Spirit provides that we remember when we come to the table, all right? That become his way, his resources of living in the world with the heart of Christ for the world, the priorities and the values of Christ representing him to the world, and ultimately his passion inviting them to himself. First thing he provides is this: by God's Spirit, as we navigate this world, he provides true direction. So we navigate this world, God's Spirit provides true direction. Those of you following along in 40 days of decrease, there's a fast we're supposed to do each day of something different. There's an interesting one coming up this week. We're to fast something called revisionism. Fancy word for we take the truth and we spin it so that it works for us. And we all do it. And the book is only calling us out using the example of the religious leaders who couldn't see real truth because they had spun it to the way they see it. And she's reminding us, let's be honest, that we all spin the truth and let's really say, God, bring me to the real truth. And in our day, that is so important. A few weeks ago, Nick and Andrea Mitchell spoke. There are some psychiatrists who go to our church, and they're talking about the culture and the pandemic, and they talked about how some of the research is showing there's another epidemic, and it's an infodemic. Okay? There's so many media outlets and social media and blogs and big personalities with media platforms, and it's just information everywhere. And as we're finding out, all of these groups, they use their little log algorithms to figure out what we go to, and that's what we keep getting fed. And the spin just gets wider and bigger, and the question becomes, where do we find truth? John 14, verse 16, I'll ask the Father, he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Wow. The first thing here that Jesus talks about, when the Spirit comes, he will guide you into truth. That when we come to the table, we come to the table of truth. That the bread of life is the words of God, the truth. Verse 25, he gets back to it. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. He'll remind you of the truth. And it's found here. As I've said in recent weeks, I've had a chance to be part of this group in our denomination, walking with a guy named Matt Canlis as he's journeyed with Jesus to the cross. And our last week, he had some readings out of Jesus hanging on the cross and reminded us that two of those seven last words of Jesus on the cross come directly from the Psalms. Essentially, he's saying, when the world around Jesus was shaking and all in turmoil, where did Jesus get his bearings? From the Word. And someone asked him a question, said, well, here we are in a fractured church in North America, everyone having all these opinions. How do we bring together? And he said, maybe we need to follow Jesus and come to the Word. And then he said, I just don't picture Jesus on the way to the cross, pulling out his phone, wondering if he should go to Fox or CNN. He went to the Word. Now, I'm not saying that we close our mind to the information out there, but we recognize we all revise. That's the first thing here. I have biases as I come to the Word. And I need to own that and say, God, grant me your truth. I need to pray every day, God, guide me into truth. Not my truth, your truth. Read with an open mind. Engage other believers. Maybe some who don't agree with me. Find out why. The key is that rather than backing up our belief by what that guy says or what she says about the Word, we come back to, what does the Word say? And let's grapple with that together. And maybe that's one interpretation, and here's one, but can we have the humility to say we all spin it? And the humility to say, God, guide us into truth? And the humility to say, God, give us the heart of Jesus, who is truth? It's fascinating. He summarizes his commands. John 13, 14, 15, it's all love one another. How do we lovingly, with humility, engage the truth? That we might represent and live the truth in the world. Oh, we need that. We need that as people who follow Jesus when we come to questions around what's right and wrong, what's important and not important. How do I live in relationship? How do I respond to difficulties? We need that as a church. I so believe with this pandemic and the restrictions and everything else that God may be wanting to show us some truth. And we have to say, God, what do you want to show us? That we don't just want to go back to normal. If there's something you want to show us about what you want the church to look like on the other side of this. Are we open to say, God, guide us into your truth? At an individual level, at a corporate level. That's how we live in the world with the resources out of it. We say, God, by your Spirit, guide us into the truth. That's one thing God provides us to walk in and yet out of this world. He provides true direction. Secondly, he provides lasting peace, as we read John 14. I hope you've, if you're in online, I hope you've been online since we had the Kids' Time video. Those of you here have been. If you remember the Kids' Time video, Sunita is telling us the story of Jesus in the boat during the storm. And everything is going on. And she's right. The disciples thought the way out of the storm was change the circumstances. Get the water out. Get the weather to change. And through the storm, they came to realize that the real peace was the presence of Jesus. Who, even while the storm was all over the place, was able to sleep. And had control over the circumstances. We live in a world that longs to reestablish equilibrium and a peace and peace, and it does it by wanting to take control and change the circumstances. I will be at peace when everything is good around me. And so when everything starts to hit, rather than turn to Jesus, like the disciples, we start bailing. Okay? We do it in a lot of ways. As we're starting to read some of the impact of the pandemic, one of the things going on is, as people are struggling with not having control, is they're turning to things. Some are neutral, some are not. Some are quite destructive, like pornography. And trying to take control almost by escaping. I'm going to get peace by creating my own little world over here. And the problem is it turns out to be addictive. and destructive. Because rather than turning to Jesus, I'm trying to get my own way out. And God says, that's not peace. And this is way before the pandemic. This relationship's a mess. So I'm going to start bailing by blaming you. It's your fault. If you just change, I'll be fine. Or that situation at work or at school, it's just not changing. But if I compromise the truth here a little bit, then I'll be good. And I'm trying to bail to get out. That's peace the way the world gives. Change my circumstances. And it only gets me in deeper. So we come to John 14, 27, well-known verse, and it says something quite different. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. My peace is different than the world's. So essentially saying, if the world looks for peace by changing its circumstances and trying to take control, I give peace differently. Well, what is that? I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. But what has God given us? He's given us His Spirit, His presence. Essentially, Jesus is saying, I was in the boat with you on that other storm. God's Spirit is going to be my presence with you in the boat. The storms to come. I love that new song. Not I, but Christ in me. Yet not I, but Christ in me. Christ in me, in the person of the Holy Spirit. When storms come, this is what He's given us. And we can either choose to try and take matters into our own hands, fix it, escape, do whatever we do, and it's only going to get worse, or we can say, God, I don't get it. I want you to take the storm away. But if not, if whatever you're up to, you're with me. I know you're with me. Help me remember your presence. Be open to where you're leading me by your truth. Find other believers because you're present with us in the midst of the community by your Spirit. The picture I get when we're with our grandkids outside, when they're one, two, three, they kind of think they've got the world by the tail. And especially they love it if they think you're giving them freedom. But even if they've got freedom to run around the yard, your eyes are on them and whether that gate is shut or not. If you're walking down a sidewalk and they think that they're on their own, your eyes are on them and you know the danger. And I think God is saying, my eyes are on you. I'm with you. That's what this table's about. Jesus is saying, you're going to need to remember, the storm is going to blow a lot of times, and sometimes it's not going to go away the way you think it should. Christianity is not about a stormless life, about us defining what should make us happy and God making us happy, changing our circumstances to make us happy. That's not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is a good God wanting to make us like Jesus, having an eternity in mind for us, and at work with us that He might work in us and through us to the world until He takes us to be with Him. He's with us. We remember that as we come to the table. And then with that, we come with hope. And that's the third and last thing I want to talk about here. That God's Spirit not only gives true direction, lasting peace, He also gives ultimate hope. Ultimate hope. There's a lot of pessimism in our world now. This is week 52. Yep, a year. Things have been different. The world has been rocking. We've seen deep divisions, racial unrest, political divide. There's just a lot of pessimism. We've seen the finish line offered and taken away. And as followers of Jesus, it's sometimes easy for us to forget we're in a world where God is in control and working towards something, and we buy into the pessimism. John 14, still toward the end, this world again, Verse 30, Jesus says, I have much more to say to you, for the prince of this world is coming. That he's saying that there, this world over here is human choice, but it's human choice as one's deceived by a kingdom of darkness. And Jesus says, the ruler of this world, he's about to think he's going to do something by sending me to the cross, but he's not. He has no hold over me. He's going to find out in my resurrection that I'm God and I'm in control. But he comes so the world may learn I love the Father and do what my Father has commanded me. All this is going to happen, the cross and everything, is just a reminder that through the resurrection, this world, the world, the kingdom of God has overcome the kingdom of the earth and is going to reign. So we get this verse in John 16, 33. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble. In this world you'll have trouble. We walk in a world that's fallen. It's messed up. People have turned from God. It's not going to be easy. But we don't need to be pessimistic. Why? I've overcome the world. Jesus says, I'm risen again. Turn to me. Walk with me. Will it be easy? No, it won't be easy. But there is an eternity coming. If you're following me, you've received what I did on the cross. Death ushers you into my presence. And there is coming a new heaven, a new earth, when all is going to be set right. We need not, as people who follow Christ in this world, be those who are pessimistic and say, the sky is falling, it's only getting worse. Even those circumstances may point us that way. I love how one person, his name is Chad Bird, he wrote it this way. We are not the church of Chicken Little, but the church of Jesus Christ. That's what the table reminds us. We are not the church of Chicken Little, but the church of Jesus Christ. We do not run around screaming that the sky is falling because there's no panic in heaven. Over the chaos of this world reigns the King of Kings, Jesus the resurrected, before whom every knee will eventually bow. Christ and his kingdom are everlasting, and into that kingdom he calls us to find forgiveness, life, and peace. So we come to the table. And we're reminded that because Jesus has come, died, risen again, the sky is not falling. The kingdom of God is coming. And it's being established as we walk with him. And that changes our priorities to say, one of the fasts is apathy. If God's kingdom is going to reign, how can I be apathetic toward participating in it coming on earth? So as we come to the table today, we come as those who walk in this world with Jesus, yet in the resources that are out of this world. Where do you need those resources today? Where do you need God's direction to say, God, show me my spin. Lead me into your truth. Where do we need his peace to be reminded he's with us? And our peace is not ultimately going to come in this life when circumstances change, because it's a fallen world where there's just going to be another mess. But he's with us. His eye is on us. And where do you need his hope? Where it's so easy to say it's just all a mess. Say God is on the throne. And even in COVID, or what's going on in COVID, the sky is not falling. God is doing something. He's at work. He is present. Deepen in me the truth that in this world there is trouble. But Lord Jesus, you've overcome the world. So may I walk in this world with the overcoming presence of your Spirit from your world. Your kingdom and all its love, values, and priorities. Let's pray. Father, forgive us where we go to those extremes of isolating from the world to just fitting right in, being no different. And instead, God, teach us to walk with you. empowered and filled and led by your Spirit of truth. Looking not to circumstances for our hope and peace, but to your Spirit, knowing, God, that you're at work in all circumstances and in all things, bringing about your resolution, even in ways beyond what we would understand or imagine. God, teach us to look to you, we pray. Open our eyes to the reality of your world, even in the midst of ours, we pray. God, we look to you as we come to the table.
Like you do, God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my just what to do. I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever.
Have a seat. In that upper room where Jesus taught his disciples, John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, all that time, context was a meal in the room. And he reinterpreted the bread as his body, which would hang on a cross. The cup would represent his blood, his life given for us. And he said, you're going to need to come and remember again and again and again who I am and what I've done, that as you walk in this world, you don't walk alone. But if you've asked that you be forgiven because of what I'm doing on the cross, you believe, you turn to me, you have my life. And this is to come and be reminded that if you're isolating and losing my heart for the world, to regain it. And if there's blending in and compromise, and maybe some of you today, you're bailing. And rather than be weighed down by guilt, the table is a call back. It's an invitation. It doesn't disqualify, not if we're honest, and say, God, forgive me. Time to come and just say, God, I fall in your grace, and I need you. And to be honest, that's really it. The ticket to the table is honesty. And just be honest with God, even as we take this time now. Anything you need to talk to God about, confess. Any need you need to bring him, ask for his peace. Any hopelessness, you need to come and have him change you. Do it in the quiet of this time. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he broke it, he gave thanks. And he said, this is my body given for you. And so, Lord Jesus, we come and we say thank you. Thank you that you came to walk among us in this world, loving this world, that then you could die for this world, restore us to yourself, give us your spirit that we might then walk with you in this world. Thank you. We come with gratitude. We come needing your grace. We come confessing. How often we bail, we do our own thing, how often we isolate and judge instead of love and engage. Thank you for your body that was given that we might be restored. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he broke it, he gave thanks, and he said, this is my body, given for you. Eat it when you do, in remembrance of me.
Behold the Father's heart. Mystery he lavishes on us. His deep cries out to thee. Oh, how desperately he wants us. The things of earth stand next to him like a candle to the sun. Salvation is in him.
In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said that this cup is the new covenant in his blood, the precious blood of Jesus, that resource from another world that covers us in and for this world and ushers us towards a coming world. That precious blood of Jesus that is the new covenant in his blood, that in doing this, in taking this cup, we remember and we proclaim that Jesus' blood, the powerful, precious blood of Jesus, covers us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending your Son into this world, loving us, sacrificing for us, and through that sacrifice, providing us hope, peace, setting us with feet towards coming day where you will call us to yourself and giving us a passion and a purpose to follow you. This precious blood of Jesus, we give you thanks. Amen. Take and drink in remembrance.
Behold, I have a friend, the Spirit breathing holy fire within, my ever-present help, speaking truth when I can't find it. Light up this broken heart and light my way till the time on earth is done. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe in me thy kingdom come.
as we close, a couple of reminders. If you want prayer, there can be staff around. If you're in the building, if you're online, just click that prayer icon or call us through the week. Call someone and just pray together. A reminder, I'll be facilitating a conversation if anyone wants to talk about what's going on in your take of the book or reading through it, 4 o'clock today, and that's either on our website on that 40 days banner or in the bulletin. You can find your way there. And again, Good Friday, it's going to be different. We're going to have stations set up, those 2-3 hour blocks. You don't come for the whole 3 hours, but sign up and come and walk through. At the end, there'll be communion, time to be prayed with. More information coming. We're looking forward to it. Let's pray together. God, you're good. Thank you that as we navigate this world, we don't do so at all alone. And we need not do it with suspicion and fear, pessimism. We can do it knowing your Spirit is with us. Your heart of love, truth, guiding us. So God, as we walk in this world, may we do so very actively and consciously in the presence of the one who is the kingdom of that world that will never end. Thank you, Father.